Welcome to the Believer's Walk of Faith, empowering believers through teaching, preaching, and demonstration of the uncompromised Word of God to fulfill their highest calling and change this world through Jesus Christ, to glorify God in all we do, to train up and send out believers, to cover the whole earth with the knowledge of the Lord. Welcome to the Believer's Walk of Faith.
Hello, I'm Bill Winston, and welcome to another program. The program that you're watching is called The Believer's Walk of Faith, where we walk by faith and not by sight. Well, we thank God for you being here and being able to view another teaching on faith. This powerful teaching on faith we call victory through faith is something that we must have all the time. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith. That means that we're to use our faith constantly in every area of life. Now, the enemy will try to make us doubt God's word, whether it'll work or not. But I guarantee you, that word will make things happen which are impossible any other way. As a matter of fact, a lot of times the enemy tries to keep us from getting to our destinies. But if we stay in faith, we'll get to our promised land. Now, this is a powerful teaching. If you're talking about faith, how to live by faith, and how to make it work for you, this is the teaching that you want to see. Let's go into it. It's called Victory Through Faith. You can virtually overcome everything that comes against you with faith. Now, what is the enemy's job to do? Well, man of God mentioned doubt. His job is to steal your faith. His job is to rob you of your faith. His job is to get you to trust more in your feelings than you do in the Word of God. That's his job. His job is to do that. And what he tries to do is the same thing he did with Eve, made her doubt, same thing he did with Peter. I'm just saying, he tries to make you think that this word will not work. Now, I want to show you something, and I'm not showing you this to throw stones at all or anything like that, because we want to cover some things. But I want to show you something. Go back to Numbers, if you will, in Numbers chapter 11. This is when the children of Israel had gone into the wilderness. Verse 18. And say unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and you shall eat flesh. Now, understand the people were murmuring about they didn't have any flesh and they wished they'd back in Egypt and so forth and so on. All right? For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. You shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days. But even a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils. And it shall be loathsome unto you because that you have what? Despised the Lord which is among you and have what? Wept before him saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? Now I want to stop right there. Now this is one of the reasons why I believe people who are even in the church cannot get faith to work. Because of this word, despise. Let me tell you what despise means. It means to have a low opinion of. It means to loathe. To regard with contempt, despicable. It even means the word worthless. Okay? Now, so they treated the Lord with a low opinion. Verse 21. And Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I will give them flesh, that they may eat a whole month? Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them, or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together? There's that word again, gather. Together for them to suffice them. And the Lord said unto Moses, Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. Despise. All right? Let me give you an example. The enemy has tried to work very craftily in having us to doubt God's word or to despise it. Let me tell you what I mean. Let's say somebody needs an operation. They go to the doctor, and the doctor said, hey, you've got a tumor, needs to be removed. Say, okay, doc. Said, we would like to set the surgery up for next week, Tuesday. We'll have you to come in on Monday night. We'll prep you early Tuesday morning and have surgery. Because we need to remove that. Because we don't want it to get malignant or whatever. Okay, they come in. Monday night, Tuesday morning, operation takes place. They're under the anesthesia. They're out. They don't even know what's happening on the operating table. Doctor operates 2 or 3 hours, send them back to the room, so forth. They recover. Now, that night, one of the relatives comes. The doctor came in here and said, well, doc, what happened? What were the results? The results were that we found the tumor, it was not malignant, and we got it out. And they said, whew. Said, well, doc, when could I go home? Well, we're working on it now. We're going to try to get you out of here in about a week. And then you'll be back at work in a month. Okay. So the relatives keep coming in. Well, how you doing? Doing great now. Is that right? Yeah. Did you find? Yeah, found the tumor. Well, what did he say? He said, we're healthy now. I'm ready to, you know. He said, I'll be back to work in 30 days. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Now, the word of that physician. Let me come over here. I want you to hear this now because I want to bring this up. This is what the Lord told me to tell you. That word of that physician. You didn't see no tumor. You weren't even awake at the operation. The only evidence you got is there's a cut on your body and some tape there. And an IV flowing in your arm. But everything else, you have taken that man's word as gospel. You didn't doubt it, not one bit. You are telling everybody about it. You tell them, I'll be back to work in 30 days. Matter of fact, call my boss man, let him know that everything's well, that I'll be back there. I mean, you don't know whether that doctor lied to you. You don't know whether he left his scalpel in there. You don't know anything. Are you following what I'm saying? And I'm saying when God says, by his stripes, come on, you better be with me. You are healed.
Yes, sir.
Do you hear what I'm saying? All of a sudden, we got all these issues with it. Say amen to that.
Amen.
And that's why the faith won't work. Because it takes a believer. It takes one who will take God's word over the physician. When God says, you are healed, take it to the bank. Now, we have taken and they treated God with low, his opinion, I don't know. Now, he's the same one that kept them in Egypt. same one that performed miracles, same one that delivered them from Pharaoh's hand. Even Jethro said it had to be God, because nobody else could have delivered you from the hand of Pharaoh. And he brought them out there. Now he's feeding them, and they got bread and manna, but they didn't want that. They want some meat to eat. They are looking for the flesh to dominate their lives once again. And so here is God said, tell them I'm going to feed them. I'm not going to feed them one day. I'm not going to feed them meat 2 days or 3 days or a week, but I'm going to feed them meat for a whole month. Now, even Moses got choked. Moses began to kind of wobble a little bit. Now, wait a minute, God. Now, what did he do? He began to bring it down to the level of his reason. He began to try to figure out how God was going to do this. That is a trap. Whenever God tells you something, don't challenge your mind as to whether or not you can figure out how this is going to happen. If he says you can be a millionaire in a month, take it to the bank, man. That's been the problem. That's been the problem of the church.
Hallelujah.
It's been trying to take faith and bring it down to the sense knowledge reality.
Yes,
folks, don't let it touch your senses. You know that it's faith. When he told Abraham, you're going to have a son, Abraham had nothing in the natural that he could grab hold to and say, this is true. He was beyond having children. Sarah had never had a child. All things were against him, but it says that Abraham became fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. You don't have to do it. If God said it, believe it. That's all he needs is one believer. Say amen to this. This is what's happening in here. We are trying to bring the Word of God down to a level where it makes academic sense, where it makes logical sense, where it makes reasonable sense, where it comes down to common sense. Adam fell from revelation to common sense. And I'm telling you, God's taking you back to revelation. He's taking you back to the impossible. He's taking you back to the places that men don't go. Only people of God can go there and be able to show the world who God really is. No, it's called despising the Lord. I don't care what you call it. It's despising his word. It's treating his word somehow low. His word is the highest thing in this earth. Jesus said he has lifted his word up above his name. You think about it, because we've been taught that. See, we've been taught that's the Bible just full of stories. No, that's the truth. And let God be true. And every man be a liar. Now, here's a secret that you might want to hold on to. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Praise the Lord. I got some believers in here tonight?
Yeah.
Talking about the transfer of the wealth of the wicked. If that's all you're believing for, then they, and they don't have much. Now, did y'all? Did you all understand that? Because you must understand. We again, I think we're trying to rationalize every statement instead of receiving every statement. See, you receive in your spirit, you rationalize in your mind. And you got to receive it, because when you receive it, the Holy Spirit begins to immediately give you what it was. That's what he was talking about. He's saying, and Bishop Tudor said, there are going to be suddenlies. Suddenlies mean there's not going to be any time between when you receive it and when it's revelation to you. See, it means when you put a seed in the ground, it's going to come up. The season, the relay is going away. It's going to all happen simultaneously. So when somebody preaches revelation, it'll immediately explode in your spirit. Are you following what I'm saying? And see, what he was talking about is you're not believing for much. See, the only thing you see in this world with your temporal ability, with your natural eyes, is a very limited amount of provision. It's a very limited amount of anything. It's limited, folks. There's much, much, much more in the spirit world than there is in the natural. Yes, sir. Say amen to this. Amen. I'm just saying, people can't see that's in the spiritual, because they're too trained and too carnal in terms of their approach to the Word of God and God's things of God and faith in their own natural ability. Now, what I'm saying is this. He brought out the fact one time, and I taught it on a Wednesday night, that over in Matthew, I taught it today in Matthew chapter 28, it says, and they joined Jesus up on the mountain. And after they joined him up on the mountain, they got up there and they worshiped him, and some doubted. And the point was that they didn't doubt. They weren't doubting Jesus, meaning that he had been raised from the dead, and they weren't doubting that, because they had saw that over in John 20 when he appeared to them, and they said, they didn't know quite who it was, and he said, put your hands in the hole, finger in the hole of my hand, and put your hand in my side, and don't be faithless, just believe. That's right, that's right. And they said, my Lord and my God, after they did that, see, they felt it. And then, what's his name? Doubting Thomas. Thomas was not there. And then 8 days later, Thomas came, and Jesus came back again, walked right through the wall. And then he came back again, and but they told Thomas before he came, we've seen the Lord. He said, I ain't gonna believe that unless I can put my finger in the holes in his hand and my hand in his side. And Jesus appeared to him and said, Thomas, now Thomas, come on, put it in here. Let's touch me and so forth. He said, now you believe because you have seen, or something like that, but blessed are they that believe, come on, and have not seen, see, have not seen with the natural eye, see, and when he worshiped, when they were up on the mountain, somebody thinks that's the same mountain, Lord have mercy, can I just say this, can I come out with this, that Jesus was tempted on that mountain. That's what the belief is, that it was the same mountain. He was tempted on that mountain. Remember when he tempted Jesus, when Jesus first started his ministry, he said, all these kingdoms will I give you, and the what? Glory of them. What is the glory? Come on. It's the wealth. So Satan showed Jesus the wealth he had stolen all from the earth and accumulated in his kingdom in a moment of time. Showed it to him. Got it? Now, what Jesus did is Colossians in chapter 2 and verse 15, Jesus went and he spoiled principalities and power. What does the word spoil mean? What does the word spoil mean? It's stripped. So he stripped Satan. Jesus went to the cross. Here he is hanging on the cross. So he didn't, nobody killed him. He gave up the ghost. Got it? Now, once he did, he became sin for us. Got it? Then Satan, the demons, ushered him on down to hell. Now, when he got down to hell, now he was tormented. For who? For us. But in 3 days. Now, understand, because people don't understand dominion over time, this was eternity. You'll get it. And see, we need to talk about some of this because we're still thinking like the world. And God doesn't think time. Time has no dominion over God. God is the inventor of time. But he puts you over time. So the time won't ever tell you what to do. The only thing that stands between you and your destiny is time. The only thing that's... Oh, Lord have mercy. So anyway. So here he... So he then, after 3 days, God raised him up. But once he raised him up, Jesus defeated Satan in open combat. Are you with me? Then he took back everything Satan stole. Not just the authority. He took back the goods. And what he showed the disciples was the goods. And some doubted. See, if you ever can see what's yours, not what's gonna be yours.
Yes, sir.
What's already yours. You gotta hear what I'm saying. There is no future in God. It's already yours. Well, praise the Lord. I trust that you enjoyed that teaching. Now, let's look at a couple of points here. One of the reasons why people cannot get faith to work is because they despise the Lord. Now, when I say that, people say, well, what do you mean, despise the Lord? That means to despise means to treat with a low opinion of, to have a low regard for, even a worthless opinion of something. You see, people look at how people think or what people say or maybe some professionals say, even over what God has said. And what we have to come back and we have to exalt the Lord and despise any other circumstances. You see, God wants to bless us, but he is looking for us to honor his word. And as we honor his word, he honors us. You remember the three Hebrews, and here they were being tempted to be thrown in that fire, but they said something. They said, the God that we serve, he will deliver us. You see, their word honored God. It didn't despise the Lord. It didn't treat God's word with low opinion. And a lot of times that's why people's faith don't work, because they think somehow this word in this Bible is lower than their circumstances. Not true. Whatever God tells you to do something, you can take it to the bank. Praise God, because it'll work every time. So I'm challenging you right now to get in this mode whereby when God's word says something, build it in your heart, let faith work for you, and you'll see things happen that were otherwise impossible. It is a powerful teaching. If you're looking to build your faith, this is a real key teaching for you, because it's telling you how to get victory in every area of your life, not just in your home or job, but in your body, in your circumstances, in your finances, in just the joy of life, whatever it is, you can apply faith and make it happen. It's a powerful teaching. Well, this is Bill Winston. That's all we have for this time. We'll see you next time. Until then, keep walking by faith.
Are you facing challenges in your life and you can't see how you'll overcome them? Are you experiencing sickness in your body, problems in your relationships, or troubles in your finances? This is the time that the force of faith is required on your behalf. The force of faith can do the impossible for you in any situation.
The enemy is not after us. What is he after? He's after our faith, because he knows faith will defeat him every time.
In this series, Dr. Bill Winston shows you how to develop your faith and use the force of faith as a power in the earth to manifest all that God has promised you.
Why is faith so important to you? Because faith has no limits. There is nothing that faith cannot accomplish.
Order The Force of Faith today, and you'll learn why faith always declares the outcome before the fight ever starts, why fear contaminates your faith, why faith dictates your destiny, not people, and much more.
You got to fight the what? Good fight of faith. See, you got to stay in faith. If you made that confession, you got to stay there. Say amen to that, because you can't go by how you feel or what's coming against you. You can't go by how it looks or what somebody said. You got to go by one thing, the Word of God. If God said it, that's what you believe.
To order your copy of The Force of Faith, simply write to Bill Winston Ministries, P.O. Box 947, Oak Park, Illinois 60303, by bank card at 1-800-711-9327 or online at www.billwinston.org. We as believers can use the force of faith to transform our lives and live the abundant life God has designed for us. Order this teaching, The Force of Faith, today and allow your faith to grow to higher heights.
Before Jesus comes back, we're going to have to bring everything that's out from under the government of God back in line with the government of God.
The church has been called by God to empower the nations.
Jesus didn't say that my mandate is to do the work of him that sent me. He said my mandate is to finish his work.
We're advancing the kingdom at the 2011 Ministers and Missions Conference, March 23rd through the 25th. Speakers include Dr. William S. Winston, Pastor Bob Yandian, Dr. Patricia Bailey Jones, Pastor Terry Nance, personal trainer and life coach Ron Kardashian, and musical artist Paul Wilbur. To register, call 1-866-816-4653 or register online at ministersandmissions.com. The 2011 Ministers and Missions Conference. We're advancing the kingdom.
Pastor Bill Winston personally invites you to Living Word Christian Center, located at 7600 West Roosevelt Road in Forest Park, Illinois. Our Sunday services are at 7, 9, or 11:15 a.m. with a midweek Bible study Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. For more information, please call 708-697-5000. The Believer's Walk of Faith is paid for by Bill Winston Ministries partners and viewers.